Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, it's time for another live remote edition of our Soundcheck podcast series. I'm John Schaefer. My guest today is Yasmin Williams. She's joining us from her home in Northern Virginia. Yasmin reinvents the guitar with a dazzling array of two-handed keyboard techniques, hammering, bowing, percussion effects, but always in the service of the music. Music that dances, and in its own way, sings. She's got a new album coming out this fall called Urban Driftwood, and today she's going to play a couple of pieces from it, beginning with this piece called Juvenescence. Live on Soundcheck, here's Yasmin Williams. That's called Juvenescence, and it's a live performance, not in our studio, but in her home in Northern Virginia by Yasmin Williams. And Yasmin, it's good to quote-unquote see you.
Nice seeing you too, John.
Now, that, for people who watch the videos of the performances you're doing for us. Juvenescence starts with you holding the guitar the way we expect to see a guitarist holding the instrument. Uh-huh. And then it very quickly turns into something else. When did you first start, and why did you first start playing the guitar as a kind of lap, almost keyboard style instrument?
I first started maybe in 9th or 10th grade, so a while ago. And basically it was just more natural for me to kind of tap that way. Like typically you see like Eddie Van Halen or like most people tap, I guess the regular quote unquote way.
Right.
And I just could never do that. I could never get that down. I don't know why. Maybe my fingers are too small. I have no idea. But tapping kind of horizontally, I guess, is just a lot easier for me. And I can see where to put my hand and also do a lot of percussive stuff too on the body.
Right.
Which is fun.
Well, and so 9th or 10th grade, so you must have been into the guitar even well before that, because tapping is a fairly extended technique for a beginning guitarist.
Yeah, no, I was just weird. I really overextended myself pretty early on. I started playing in 8th grade, so probably about a year and a half in is when I really wanted to learn how to tap.
Yeah, and who were the people that got you interested in playing the guitar?
Hendrix was a big one. I really like Nirvana because their songs are pretty simple to learn how to play as a beginner. And just the video game Guitar Hero is really what got me into playing.
Ah.
I beat the game and I got an actual like real guitar from my parents. And yeah, I just loved playing the real guitar as much as the game. So it's always been fun.
Right. I started playing guitar when I was, you know, 8th or 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But as a white guy, I had lots of imagery out there.
You sure
I had
do.
Lots of there was lots of people I could identify
mm-hmm.
with. You mentioned Hendrix, but you know who else?
He was the only one at that point. I didn't learn about other black guitarists until maybe about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Like Rosetta Tharpe, Elizabeth Cotton, those didn't really pop up until way after I'd already started playing.
Right.
They're still really inspirational to me, but I kind of wish I'd known about them before.
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned Sister Rosetta Tharpe and Elizabeth Cotton. You could throw in Memphis Minnie. I mean,
right.
These
There's
were
a ton.
foundational
yeah.
figures and a history that has been really overlooked and you might even say kind of overwritten.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But so kind of like finding that stuff out must have been really kind of gratifying for you.
It was amazing, especially with female guitars, because I just kind of thought there were, I didn't think there were none, but just, I didn't know of any. So to learn about them, especially Elizabeth Cotton, she's kind of like an icon to me now. Like just her story is just incredible. And she was super awesome at guitar in general. Her songs are difficult to play. I'm trying to learn some now.
Didn't she play a right-handed guitar, left-handed? Was that
her
story?
Like upside down, and she played
with
her index finger, played the bass, and her thumb played the treble strings. It was
right, and people will know her song Freight Train, among others.
Yeah.
So for you, you got into the tapping thing pretty quickly,
mm-hmm.
and once you started putting the guitar on your lap, now you have not just a musical instrument, but you have like a miniature table that you can
seriously.
That you can put
that's how
on.
I thought of it. Actually, it's like a whole new world just opened up. Like I'm not confined to just like holding the guitar up right now. I can just put stuff like tape stuff on top, do stuff with my feet, just do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons I could never understand the keytar. You know, where a keyboardist straps on a keyboard guitar. So why? Why? But that's so ergonomically wrong, and you're taking away so much of the best stuff of having a keyboard
exactly.
in front of you.
Exactly, and the visual appeal just isn't there. I don't really get it. But more power to them. It couldn't be me.
So you've not only recognized the possible advantages of a guitar on your lap, but you've taken full advantage of it.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've gone a bit overboard.
So there's a piece of yours that we've heard on New Sounds in the past called Gitka, which is a combination of guitar and kalimba. And the next song you're going to play for us has the guitar. Now, is the kalimba actually affixed to the guitar somehow?
I just put tape on the back and stick it on.
Okay.
That's how I put it on, yeah.
So tell us about this piece called Through the Woods.
Yeah, so that also uses another kalimba I bought and a different tuning from the kalimba I use in Gitka. Basically, I just kind of wanted to see what else I could do with the kalimba and try to make it more melodic, I guess, in this track. And I used tap shoes, too. That was fun.
Right.
Because that's the first song I used two in them, actually, like two tap shoes in the song.
So it sounds like, with the kind of tapping approach to the guitar and the kalimba, the thumb piano, and the tap shoes, it sounds like you're going for a really kind of rhythmically based percussive form of music.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, these songs have clear kind of melody and lyricism to them.
Thank goodness, that's the goal.
It's a pretty neat trick, Yasmin.
I mean, yeah, I'm super influenced by hip hop too. I listened to that a lot growing up and now. So I always like to have percussive elements and just a percussive overtone to the tracks while still having them be super melodic and melodically interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of difficult, but yeah.
And tuning, have you retuned this guitar?
I usually use open D. That's what it's in that track. But yeah. I'm starting to be more adventurous now with tunings on the second album. But yeah.
All right. And this will be on.
Yeah, that one will be on there.
The record will be called Urban Driftwood, Out in the Fall. Yasmin Williams is with us from her home in Northern Virginia. Let's hear this live performance of a song called Through the Woods. Thank you. That is a live performance, a remote live performance from guitarist and songwriter Yasmin Williams. Through the Woods is the name of that one. It'll be on the album Urban Driftwood, coming out in the fall. And your first record was called Unwind. And
yes.
Was there for that record, is there for the next record, a kind of through line that kind of wove all the pieces together? Was there a big idea driving either of these records?
Actually, yeah, for the second record more so than the first.
Okay.
The second record's really just kind of nature is a big theme throughout, and like kind of taking a journey. That's kind of where a lot of the song titles came from, like Through the Woods, Juvenescence, like kind of stages of life, kind of reflection, and that's kind of a big theme throughout mm-hmm. that album. Unwind was just more of kind of a hodgepodge of various songs I'd written and throughout the 6 years or whatever it was before I released the album.
So they're songs without words.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever tried writing songs with words?
Not myself, but I have collaborated with other songwriters and vocalists and rappers and things like that. Always fun,
really?
But I'm horrible at writing lyrics. So it's not possible right now.
Yeah. Well, but you also, you know, you wrote that lovely piece of music in response to the Black Lives Matter protests. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it proves that you don't have to have words in the song.
Thank you.
For the song to have a,
yeah.
you know, a kind of a meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next piece that you're going to play for us, you're going to go back to Unwind, to the
yeah.
first record. And this song called Restless Heart, both on the record and clearly in this live performance, because I can see what the setup is, has a kind of a spectrum of sounds, because you've got the bow. Is that a mm-hmm. cello bow or violin
it's
bow?
It's a cello bow, yeah.
Yeah. And in order to play the start of this song, the left hand has to do all the note making on the neck,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So... how do these things happen, Yasmin? Do you just...
I always get asked this, and I never have an answer. I really don't know. I think I'd figure that out by now. That song is, I wrote that in, what, high school? yeah, I mean, I guess at that point when I originally wrote the song, I was really just kind of fascinated with how much I could do with one hand.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to show that off in the intro. And the cello bow idea I got from the band Saiga Ross, the lead singer uses a bow on his guitar and gets super
right.
amazing sounds.
The Icelandic band,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't get those sounds, so I kind of settled on a drone.
Well, you know,
yeah.
back in the 70s, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin would occasionally
yeah.
take a bow
yeah,
to his guitar.
Yeah, it's a fun trick.
Yeah, but for folks who are wondering how you can be playing notes on the frets, on the neck of the instrument with just your left hand. I mean, just if there's a really quick description of how you do the tapping.
Basically,
thing.
Just a series of hammer-ons and pull-offs. So I kind of pull the string back I like to use my middle finger a lot, but index or middle or ring finger, and kind of just push on the string and then pull off really quickly.
Yeah.
That's the best I can describe it.
Yeah. So, but your, you know, your fingertip is hammering so hard on the string that it's making a noise
yeah.
even without
I
the
mean,
other
you
hand
don't
plucking.
Have to use you don't have to use a hard gesture. It doesn't have to be anything overly extensive. A simple, like, kind of a soft push can get a note to sound.
So there's all these techniques at work. Do they kind of drive the songwriting process, you know, when you have these, or are you...
The songwriting process drives the techniques. I don't really use techniques that aren't needed. Like, the kalimba came into play because of the band Earth, Wind, and Fire. I love them. And Maurice White was known for his
yep.
kalimba solos. And
yep.
I love those. So I always wanted to kind of incorporate it into my guitar playing. It just happens that I play acoustic guitar. So I kind of wanted to always use both. And that was the way to do it. And compositionally, it made perfect sense because if I want a different timbre or a different instrument, I'm one person, so that's how I can do it.
Yeah, I'll just tape one instrument on top of the other, and...
It's kind of like a problem solving, really. It's just everything I do is just solving problems.
We're speaking with Yasmin Williams and listening to some live performances from her home in Northern Virginia. Urban Driftwood is the name of her forthcoming album, which is out in the fall, but this song is from the last record called Unwind. Let's hear Yasmin's live performance of Restless Heart. That's Restless Heart. Once again, Yasmin Williams, my guest, on this remote edition of our live sessions from Northern Virginia. How are you handling the pandemic and quarantine and all that? Has it been a productive time for you?
It has been. I've actually been pretty busy. I'm working with an ensemble now, writing a piece for an instrument called a berimbau, which is super cool. The Brazilian. Yeah.
It looks like an archery bow with a gourd attached.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of things I probably wouldn't normally be doing. So this time has actually been pretty productive.
Wow.
Yeah.
You doing all that remotely?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. But I mean, you know, modern musicians are used to working that way,
exactly.
You know?
I mean, you have to adapt pretty much.
Yeah. Now, in that performance of Restless Heart, we got a chance to hear you treating the body of the guitar almost like a drum head, you know, with the heel of the hand and slapping it and stuff. But what about drums and percussion? Are you much of a percussionist?
Funnily enough, I mean, I would say no, but I did take a frame drumming class in college for a year, and it was actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
But I'm not really a percussionist. I just kind of teach myself the bare minimum of what I need to figure out for the composition.
Do you consider yourself a guitarist?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've earned that, hopefully.
But, but the way you treat the instrument is un-guitar. Do you know Kaki King?
Yeah, love her.
So, you know, for her, she's a composer first and foremost, you know?
I agree with that, yeah.
You can call her a guitarist, but she uses the guitar just as a means, as a tool, and it seems like you're doing something similar.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that applies to me too, I think. I just play guitar so often. I just feel like I should call myself a guitarist anyway.
I know lots of guitarists, lifelong guitarists, who would look at what you do and say, that is not a guitarist.
Oh, my gosh. Lord knows I've heard enough of that.
but you know, I think they would mean it in a good way.
Yeah,
you know,
sometimes,
Yeah. And then, of course, anytime you do something different or look different from the people who usually do what you're doing, you will. I mean, has that happened?
It definitely has. Luckily, not as often as I originally thought, coming out of college trying to become a professional, but it has happened. But it doesn't really matter.
Well, but it does. And
it does, but what can you do?
But, you know, there will be even younger black girls growing up seeing
someone.
That makes it worth it. It's all about, you know, being able to identify with the people who you see up on stage there. And in the fullness of time, when you get back out on stage, you know, will there be a tour to support it, the whole thing?
Oh gosh. Yeah, I certainly hope so. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure there is. I'm super proud of these tracks. So yeah, I want to showcase them.
Have you been back to New York since leaving NYU?
Yeah, not as much as I'd like to be, but yeah, I played a couple shows there. Hopefully next year I get to go back a lot more, though. I am starting to miss it a little bit.
Well, Yasmin, I certainly hope we get to see you around these parts sooner rather than later. Good luck with the release of Urban Driftwood.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for playing for us today.
Thank you for having me.
That'll do it for this remote edition of our Soundcheck podcast series from newsounds.org. Our producer is Karen Havlick. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. I'm John Schaefer. Thank you for being with us. You can see the videos from this session and much more on our website at newsounds.org.